mariammayo.podomatic.com. You're about to listen to my reading of the prologue to my anthology, Mexico, A Traveler's Literary Companion, which was published by Whereabouts Press in 2006. Since its independence from Spain in the early 19th century, Mexico has been, variously, empire, republic, and dictatorship. Its once far-flung boundaries brutally cut back by the United States and the secession of what is now Central America. Thus, modern-day Mexico's curious shape, a thick, curling torso, the mainland, with one dangling, withered arm, Baja California, and the other, a muscle, curled into a fist, Yucatan. Historian Timothy E. Anna writes, Mexico was, and still is today, a country defined by its regions. Could any be more different than Baja California's searing deserts and Yucatan's lush jungles? Or, for that matter, Yucatan, in any place else? Mexico means the land of the Mexica, that tribe of destiny better known as the Aztecs. At the time of the conquest in the early 16th century, the Mexica were the dominant, though certainly not the only indigenous people, within the territory that is today the Republic of Mexico. Later, during colonial times, people took to identifying themselves by their province or region, New Spain, or New Galicia, or California, for example, or by their ethnic group. There were, as there are today, Creoles, those of purely Spanish ancestry, as well as Tarascans living on the mirror-like lakes of Michoacán, Tzotziles in Chiapas, and Triquis in the highlands of Oaxaca, to give only a few of innumerable examples. The national myth propagated by the state in the wake of the early 20th century revolution is that to be Mexican is to belong to la raza cósmica, the cosmic race of the mestizo, born of the Spanish father and Indian mother. True, the overwhelming majority of modern Mexicans are mestizos. However, this overlooks not only Mexico's many indigenous peoples, but also the hundreds of thousands of Mexicans descended from Africans, Basques, Chinese, Lebanese, Jews, Germans, French, Italians, Irish, English, and many others. That said, Mexican literature, A Vast Banquet, is one of the greatest achievements of the Americas. And yet we who read in English go hungry, for so astonishingly little of it has been translated. This is more astonishing still when one considers that the United States shares a 2,000-mile-long border with Mexico. We have, however, been allowed to sample some of the most enticing flavors. Mexican literature begins with the poems, myths, chronicles, and prophecies of its indigenous peoples. In English we have, for example, Miguel León Portilla in Earl Shoris's sweeping anthology, In the Language of Kings, which includes the Nahuatl Chronicle, The Fall of Tenochtitlan, the haunting poems of Netzahualcoyotl, and the 16th century Popol Vuh, sometimes called the Mayan Bible. We also have English translations of Spanish works about the conquest, most notably Bernal Díaz del Castillo's sublime and epic memoir, The True History of the Conquest of New Spain. From the colonial period, we have the searing intellectual autobiography of the nun and literary prodigy Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, translated by Margaret Sayers Peden as A Woman of Genius. Of the work of 20th century writers, we have more translations, including the fiction of Juan Rulfo and Carlos Fuentes, and the poetry and prose of Nobel Prize winner Octavio Paz. I would be remiss not to also mention Laura Esquivel's charming Like Water for Chocolate, a bestseller in English and Spanish, which was made into a popular movie. On the Downside, and in spite of a number of books of Mexican literature in translation and shorter works in magazines such as the Paris Review, Tememe, Terra Incognita, and Two Lines, most of the vast array of Mexican literature remains untranslated. All the more reason, dear reader, why the book you now hold in your hands is a rare treat, for it also offers a taste of the sharply different and pungent flavors of Mexico's regions. My main criteria for selection were literary quality and a specific sense of place and/or regional culture. I focused on contemporary writing, which I defined as short stories, novel excerpts, and creative nonfiction published after 1973, though I made an exception to this last guideline for Rosario Castellanos, a native of Chiapas and one of Mexico's greatest writers. Despite a rich tradition of writing in English about Mexico, I stayed away from English-language writing with two exceptions, an excerpt from my own memoir, Miraculous Air, which recounts an interview with a rancher who had worked on Baja California's Transpeninsular Highway, and Big Caca's Revenge by Daniel Reveles, set in the border city of Tecate. In sum, my definition of contemporary literary Mexican writing is, to a degree, an arbitrary slice that is mushy around the edges, as are all definitions of convenience. Overall, I aim to achieve diversity, not only of places, but also of styles and sensibilities. No small task, for literary writing in Mexico is dominated by a Mexico City elite. Culturally, demographically, economically, intellectually, and politically, Mexico City has no equivalent in the United States. You might think of it as Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Boston, and New York City rolled into one. Most anthologies of Mexican literary writing tend toward a Mexico City-dominated who's who, as does this one, if to a much lesser degree, for indisputably much of the best writing is being produced in the capital. I did as most anthologists do. I read. I read some more. I asked advice. I read. A seemingly endless cycle that yielded treasures, among them Pedro Ángel Palau's Huaquichula, set in the state of Puebla, and Monica Lavín's Day and Night, set in the village of Acapatzingo in the state of Morelos. In addition, however, I made a call for submissions that I emailed to hundreds of writers, translators, and professors. Many forwarded it. I know it ended up on several websites, including that of the American Literary Translators Association. I also snail-mailed 650 flyers with the same to translation and Spanish departments in universities throughout the United States, Mexico, Canada, the UK, and even to a few in Australia. What arrived in my mailbox was, as I had hoped, a big, juicy stack of envelopes. Araceli Ardón, a writer from Querétaro, sent her not yet published It Is Nothing of Mine. From Jeff Hargreaves, I received his translation of the brilliant and devastating The Green Bottle by Monterrey's Ricardo Elizondo Elizondo, another writer new to me. Translator Harry Morales sent Alberto Ruiz Sanchez's memoir, Vigil in Tehuantepec, and Aylan Stavins's Twins, about two small-town Lebanese brothers. From Philip Garrison, I received his translation of Michoacan writer Raúl Mejía's very spicy Banquets. From Provo, Utah, came Daryl R. Haig's translation of the eerie Tarantula, by State of Veracruz native Raimundo Hernandez Gil, a writer whose work had only been published in Spanish in a Brigham Young University student magazine, a venue far below the radar of Mexico City's literati, indeed. Throughout Mexico, there are so many writers whose work has yet to be translated, or, though translated, deserves a far wider readership in English. Given the scope and extent of this anthology, a number of pieces did not fit for reasons quite other than their quality. What to do with something set in Paris, Arizona, outer space? I aimed for a certain balance. No banquet should be all savory or all sweet. As they say in Mexico, buen provecho. From the back cover of my anthology, Mexico, A Traveler's Literary Companion, here's a description of the book by the publisher, Whereabouts Press. Mexico has long been the top travel destination for Americans, but until now, there has not been such a panoramic vision of Mexico offered by some of Mexico's finest contemporary writers of fiction and literary prose. Here are writings, many translated for the first time, that bring you to the people of the beaches, the deserts, jungles, snow-capped mountains, and mega-cities. The voices are rich and diverse, the stories enthralling and strange. These writings shatter stereotypes as they provide a rollicking journey from the Pacific to the Gulf, from Yucatan to the U.S.-Mexico border, from humble ranchos to a fabulous mountaintop castle. Contributors include rising stars, as well as many of Mexico's best-known literary writers, including Carlos Fuentes, Ángeles Mastreta, Laura Esquivel, Alberto Ruiz Sánchez, Aileen Stavins, and Juan Villoro. Read more about this title on my website, sammeo.com. The book is widely available in bookstores throughout the United States and Canada, and can also be ordered online from all major booksellers, including longitude.com and amazon.com. Thanks for listening. Listen to more of my podcasts at sammeo.com. I invite you to visit my webpage, where you can learn more about Mexico, A Traveler's Literary Companion, with a table of contents, links to the many contributors, excerpts, and my interview at National Public Radio.